Let us now listen to the Word of God from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Word of Paul. We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this, the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Now, beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, come and speak to us in the power of your word, that you might bring peace to us, and through us, then, peace to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cy Miller and Jill Jackson were a husband and wife songwriting team. In 1955, they wrote a song about peace. They wanted to share their belief that every person in the world could make his or her individual contribution to peace. They first introduced her song to a high school student retreat in California, and Cy described this event with his own words. On a summer evening in 1955, 180 teenagers of all races, religions, met at a workshop in the California mountains, locked arms, formed a circle, and sang this song of peace. They felt that singing the song with its simple sentiment could create a climate for world peace. The teens came down from the mountaintop and brought that song with them. They started sharing it with others, and as though on wings, the song became an amazing journey around the globe. It traveled first to their homes, schools, churches, and clubs. Their circles of influence continued to expand. Soon the song was being sung in all 50 states, at school graduations, at PTA meetings, at Christmas and Easter. It became a repeated theme for Veterans Day, Human Rights Day, and United Nations Day. It was taped, recorded, copied, printed in songbooks, passed by word of mouth, and the song even spread to Europe, to South America, Central America, Africa, Asia, and Australia. And you know the words of this song, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." The song, I believe, got one thing very right. Peace ripples out from the inner working of human hearts to wider circles of influence, even to international impact. However, while the song did promulgate a strong and attractive humanistic sentiment, it did miss one key theological foundational reality. While it did give God a nod as Father, it missed that peace does not begin with you and me. Peace begins with God, and God has sent Jesus to be our peace. Jesus is the transforming and incarnating deposit into the human cauldron of turmoil, which has resulted from human sin and evil. Jesus is God's merciful condescension into the stormy sea of human history. It is Jesus' presence and spirit of peace that flows through people who believe in him out into the far reaches of human endeavor. And the peace of Christ has reverberated into all human history, from the very nature of who God is, through the man Jesus, his disciples, his apostles, to their disciples and their families, beyond their households, across cultural, class, racial, national, ethnic, and religious boundaries, to the four corners of the earth. It is Jesus who spreads the peace, and we are servants of Christ. Peace ripples out from God at the center. Peace ripples out through Jesus. Peace ripples out through the people of faith who have discovered that Jesus, in fact, is the way, the truth, and the life. And then they choose to share it with those around them. Peace flows out into expanding and overlapping circles of relationships. Peace begins small and expands out. God in Christ, in fact, is the epicenter of all true waves of peace, whether people participating know it or not. Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, is the great seismic event in history. But while his coming was quiet, his impact was cataclysmic. He came silently, peacefully, and unobtrusively. You remember the Christmas carol that we'll sing in just a few months. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in the world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Christ enters in to human beings who share the peace of Christ with others. He came seemingly as a drop in the bucket of human ancestry, but his vibrant life of peace transformed the world. And his presence has rippled through all ages, all peoples, all times, and all nations. While his stream of peaceful humanity has flowed into many an empty life and an open community, still throughout the world, much of creation still continues to groan as a thirst for the life-giving drink of his fountain of peace. Peace does not begin out there or up there. Peace begins within us and among us in Jesus Christ. Because of the Prince of Peace who has engaged us, we are able to engage and reach out to others with that nature of Christ. We love one another because he first loved us. We can be at peace with one another because he has made peace with us. Peace is personal before it is political. Let us not forget that during this election time. There can be no political peace unless there is personal peace. But personal peace will, if lived out, lead to political peacemaking. Concluding his letter to the Thessalonian church, the Apostle Paul pleads to them, "We appeal to you, brothers and sisters, be at peace among yourselves, and may the God of peace sanctify you." Bob Dole, in his book, Great Political Wit, laughing almost all the way to the White House, tells this story. During the 1952 campaign, Adlai Stevenson appeared before a Baptist convention in Houston, and his host declared, before introducing him, "Governor Stevenson, before I introduce you, I want to make it clear that you are here as a courtesy. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale has already instructed us to vote for your opponent. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Governor Stevenson." Unfazed, Stevenson walked up to the microphone and said, "Well, speaking as a Christian, I would like to say that I find the Apostle Paul appealing and the Apostle Peel appalling." I had to work on that sentence for several hours. Try to say it. Dr. Peel had attacked Stevenson for being divorced. It was no secret that Peel had strong Republican loyalties. Peel was also vocal about his anti-Catholic stance toward John Kennedy in the 1960 election. And counter to his life theme, which was a call for positive thinking, Dr. Peel's repeated attacks on Democrats and his continuing appeal to elect WASP Republicans backfired on him. As one news organization said, he ventured off into the political battleground and was carried off mortally wounded. He gave up the gospel of peace for a war of bloody politics and lost. In fact, the Apostle Paul, I believe, would have been appalled. A pastor contributing to strife between candidates who were both Christians. "Be at peace among yourselves," he says. "It's an imperative for all followers of Christ in all times and places. As people who carry the name of Christ, as Christian, we must be very careful not to sell our eternal birthright for a temporal political pot of porridge. We cannot allow being Democrat or Republican to overrun the banks of our primary allegiant, who is Jesus and the peace of Christian community. Let us not forget this during this partisan political time. The peace of Christ must prevail over the enmity of our political bias. Peace comes through Christ, and it does not come through our political perspicacity. There is a consistent message from God in Paul's letters that calls us to honor our leaders even if we disagree with them. Respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work," Paul says. "If leaders name and demonstrate Jesus Christ as Lord, we contribute to the peace of the church and the society if we esteem them, even though we may disagree with them. Taking sides around competing leaders divides. Sometimes we set leaders up to be at enmity with each other because we desire to see the battle. This does not mean we keep peace by doing everything that a leader says or agreeing without question. On the contrary, Paul says, test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Peace constantly tests the veracity of what is said and done. Peace reaffirms the boundaries between good and evil, between sin and righteousness. We must measure what a leader says and does against the model of Jesus himself, in light of the very nature of God. We do have a measurement. Our test is not against a particular political platform or a personal philosophy of life. Our test is against the peaceful person of Jesus. There is danger for us as Christians in political polarization and rancor, of rejecting the peace of Christ in order to embrace a lesser detente or a cheaper covenant. Peace ripples out from Jesus at the center. As the blood of Jesus has been poured out into our hearts for the forgiveness of our sins, let it flow from us and fill those around us. That is what this table on World Communion Sunday is all about. Let us come to the table, receive a piece of the body of Jesus Christ, and receive the peace of Christ, and to go out from here and share it with others as we pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor. Paul understood this probably better than most even as he was addressing the Thessalonians, because when he went to Thessalonica the first time, he and Silas were not respected or received well. In fact, they were attacked, threatened, their followers were thrown in jail, and they were run out of town. So Paul understood what it meant to be giving the gospel in a place where there was no peace. Not only did Paul appeal to us to be at peace with our leaders, but he also appeals to us to be at peace with those who live on the edges of our community. We urge you, beloved, to admonish idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all of them. You know a person in the community that you just seem to run out of patience because of who they are and what they do. Remember Paul's words of peace. Be patient with them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good. We make peace and keep peace by admonishing the disorderly or the messy, by comforting the faint-hearted and the fearful, by helping the weak in faith who lack trust, by being patient with everyone. For if the church cannot be patient with those that are edgy, then who can be? The Prince of Peace has come to be Lord of our personal lives and headwaters of our community life in the church. Peace flows from Christ. And you remember that encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well in Samaria, where he asked for her to give him a drink, and he said, if you knew the person that was asking you, you would ask him for a drink, and he would give you the kind of water, if you drink, you will never thirst again. And he went on to say, it's like a well that gushes up within a person, an artesian well gushing up to life. It comes from within the person and flows out to others. And so as we share this world communion today, let us remember that in fact, peace does resonate deeply in Jesus Christ to us as individuals, and every one of us counts. But God counts in Christ first of all and most of all. If you have a relationship with whom you have wounded differences today, the call to be at peace demands that you take time to work it out with a person with whom you have that pain. Let us not talk and pray for world peace and live with unresolved enmity among ourselves. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, now bring healing to us and healing through us to others as we participate in your great movement to bring peace to this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.